This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wouldn't you like to take a vacation from your bills? Well, you can. With credit card balances at an all-time high and Golden Oak's 5.25% rate, you could be saving thousands of dollars after a simple phone call. Call today and get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments for 2 months. Visit GoldenOakLending.com to speak to someone today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to another edition of Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you right here on KFH, right here on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X, all over the place. We are with you today. Be careful out there. If you're driving right now, it is slick. So we've got to watch what we're doing. Be careful. Make sure that, you know, everybody is everybody's safe out there. We'll try to entertain you on that longer drive to work this morning or wherever it is that you're going. So, let's hang in there. We all thought we were through with this and we're not. And so we have to deal with it. And I'm not happy about it. And that's okay because we can't control the weather. We can just yell at our local meteorologist. Just kidding. Don't do that. They don't control the weather either. But hey, thanks to them and thanks to everybody over on KNSS and all the Odyssey family for being at work and helping us, you know, stay safe and be informed this morning. Guy Jad Chambers all over it, all over the traffic angles of things today. So hang in there, everybody. We'll get through another winter blast here. It'll be spring and then summer soon enough. Thanks for watching us on those video streams. If you're watching today, you'll notice that it's super cute. Tommy and I are matching this morning. Totally planned. So, hey, Tommy, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm here. I'm hanging in there. I'm doing everything I can to power through. It's weird. The last like week or so, I've been dealing like with a head cold and everything and, you know, trying to battle through it and take the meds and do all of that. And then last night, we were hanging out, finished dinner, put the kids down, and I couldn't stop shivering. Like, you know that feeling where it's just like, yeah, you just feel so cold. And I'm like, it's cold outside. That's probably what's going on. My wife in her infinite wisdom was like, you need to take your temperature. And I did, and I had a fever. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed. I'm going to sleep it off. It's going to be fine. Woke up this morning. Fever is higher than what it was. But you know what? I'm here. Rather than going and exposing Max in the studio, I would do my part of the show from home like you do a lot. And we're here. I'm going to try to get through the next 2 hours with a 101 degree fever.
Max appreciates that. We appreciate you being here, Tommy. It is one of the great things. You know, you can't work sick a lot, but this technology that we have incorporated on the show over the past, I don't know, how long have we been incorporating this technology? 2 years or so, does allow us some flexibility. So hang in there. We'll try to carry the load. You can participate too. You can call us at 869-1240. You can leave us comments on our video streams and any of the places you're watching. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected. And you can also leave us voice messages through the Odyssey app, which is actually pretty cool. You just hit the little microphone, you can leave a message, and we can take those out right over the air. Of course, we'll be talking college hoops today. It's a busy college hoops day. Big win for K-State last night and a necessary needed win for KU last night. We'll dig into both of those. We've got our KU insider, Shreyas Lada, coming up in this next hour. We will not have Kevin Saul. He had a last-minute scheduling conflict last night, so we will not be talking to Kevin Saul today, but we will be getting ready for a Shocker basketball game tonight as well, as you'd sure like to see him follow suit here. Can they catch some of the same lightning in a bottle that K-State has caught as they get just a massive win over Arizona last night? And we'll see the ultimate ramifications of that. I don't think we've seen what it does for them in the net just yet. We will. Maybe before we get off the air this morning, but it really is impactful into the conference standings. They just kind of keep holding suit, and they'll play some of the teams that they're chasing here, but it's all about that tournament resume. I've got some people, Tommy and Amarillo, who are, of course, where I'm from, paying very close attention to Brendan Hawson. They're texting me like, man, if they win this again, like they might be a top 25 team. And I'm like, no. They're not going to be a top 25 team. I don't know that they could be a top 25 team if they won all the rest of their games with 11 losses, but it doesn't matter. It only matters what this stuff does for them in the net. And it's even as much about, you know, the wins, Tommy. They're going to have to overcome some bad losses, and that will be challenging for their resume. They really need, if you're a K-State fan, you need to become a Wichita State fan real fast, because they need Wichita State to get a whole lot better so that loss doesn't mean as much. You know what I mean? So it's not about top 25. It's honestly, and what's going to be real wild about this, Tommy, it's not even about Big 12 standings, because right now they sit pretty in the Big 12, right? They're seventh. They're tied for sixth right now in the Big 12. And they could, if they keep playing like this, which is by some metric still the best any team is playing in college basketball since late December, they're going to have an opportunity to be very high in the Big 12 standings. But because of the way they started their season, the net is not reflective right now. And it's going to be this strange phenomenon. If you go and look right now at the net rankings as of this morning, and let me just pull them up officially and not use this secondary site I'm using to see if they really only did jump one spot. Okay, so they are up to 70. So they didn't jump much yet. So let's look at this. They would be, Tommy, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th in the Big 12 in net ranking. That's going to be a problem. And so they're in 5th place essentially in the Big 12 standings, but 11th in the Big 12 in net ranking. Net ranking is what gets you into the NCAA tournament. So this is going to feel very backwards for us for a while, right? We're going to look at that and be like, man, they're competitive again in the Big 12, and they're going to be playing, and they're trying to get into Kansas City with a real good seed, and it doesn't really matter right now. They just have to keep winning all these games because their net ranking doesn't get better. They'll become an anomaly as a team that gets into the NCAA tournament. And that is going, it's unique. I don't remember seeing anything like this for a team. I mean, we've seen it, teams catching fire late, but they will have to catch fire and stay on fire through about 15 games for this to be a thing. And right now they're on their way.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it yesterday in advance of the Arizona game, and I thought, what's the best case scenario for Kansas State? Like, let's just assume that they went out in the regular season, they go on a run in the Big 12 conference tournament. Like, what's the ceiling for them? What's the best case scenario? And I think that a lot of it is probably to get into the NCAA tournament and be solidified as a tournament team, not on the bubble, not on a team that has to sweat it out on Selection Sunday, not a team where you have to debate, and you may have to still debate the net and the strength of schedule and some of the bad losses, quad one, quad two, like all of that. That's probably going to be part of the conversation regardless. But I think the best case scenario for Kansas State is if they can play their way into the tournament without much drama, without much question about whether or not they're deserving of being in there. Otherwise, you know, if you stumble, you know, down the stretch and look, like, they're the hottest team in college basketball right now. So I've got no doubt in my mind that they can continue on this streak of really good basketball. What you want to try to avoid if you're Jerome Tang is having that doubt creep in the mind of the committee. You want to be solidified in the tournament field. And the only way they can do that is to keep winning.
It's wild. And it will take like no stumbles. Like last night, they missed a couple free throws late, and we'll get into the game more specifically in the next segment. But like, you can't stumble in any of these games. That's really hard to do in college basketball, especially when you have to go on the road to do it. They don't have any good non-conference wins. Not one. So everything has to happen within the Big 12. That's a lot to ask of a team. That's a
They've
ton.
Checked the boxes, though, in the Big 12, at least as of now, like with the top 25
yep.
wins they've gotten over the last 2 weeks. You know, they've been able to compensate for the fact that they didn't have any good non-conference wins whatsoever by knocking off multiple top 25 teams in the last 2 weeks.
Let's talk about that game. Let's talk about KU when we return on Sports Daily.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, your legend begins aboard the Disney Destiny, the all-new ship from Disney Cruise Line, sailing November 2025. Log in and listen to KFH on Odyssey for a chance to win a trip for four to set sail on the Disney Destiny in this national contest. All you need to do is listen for an hour on the Odyssey app. Find out more at kfhradio.com. Cruise sounds pretty nice right about now as we are dealing with some more snow. Please be careful. Let's stay safe out there. And if you're out there and you're wondering, just take it slow. Just take it slow. You'll be all right. Just drive slow. Let us hang with you for a little bit longer. All right, Tommy. We look at let's start with K-State because obviously the opponent was big and the impact is large and. KU will get to, and we'll have Shreya Slotta in to help us talk about KU too. When we look at that K-State game against Arizona, it was kind of, a lot of more of the same. Kansas State, they didn't have that huge run where they had to overcome it in this game, which is always good to see. They actually, they won the first half, and then the second half was tight all the way through. And we knew they wouldn't be able to do that probably against Arizona. Doug McDaniel continues to be the straw that stirs the drink as far as what's different now versus what was different then. 14 steals last night. 14 steals. come on. Like, where is this coming from? From what we saw earlier in the year, including 5 from McDaniel, by the way. And it's interesting to kind of gauge it. Everyone, it's like, oh, it's Coleman Hawkins. I'm like, guys, Coleman Hawkins has been, he's been doing his thing the same way all year. He did not have a good game last night. And that's okay. He's not going to have a good game. He still brought it defensively. He still had a handful of steals. I thought as much as anything last night, Tommy, in a game where Coleman Hawkins does not have anywhere near his best game, he's still bringing it defensively. Brendan Hawson, those two went 0 for 10 from 3. K-State went 1 for 19 from 3. There were a lot of things that in a game against the 13th ranked and second hottest team in the Big 12, you play and you get blown out of the building. But look what happens when you play good defense. And they did. And they were able to overcome a night where offensively, they really struggled to be pretty blunt about it. And they were able to overcome it and still get a win. That's the kind of stuff that makes good teams great. And it is so strange right now. And people that aren't paying very, very close attention may roll their eyes at this, but Kansas State's a great team. Kansas State's a great team, Tommy, that played like crap for 3 months. That's what we're seeing here. And it's not even that crazy because we thought going into this year that this team did have a chance to be a great team. The pieces all fit. We loved the fits. Like, everything was looking good. And they played like garbage for 3 months. And now all of a sudden, we're seeing a great team. It's not like they're not just hot or they're not just because they're doing it in different ways on different nights. They're bringing the energy. Like, this is a great team. Now, whether they can ultimately get where they want to go is still a really, really tall ask for them. But they're on their way. And that is absolutely insane to think about if we'd have said that on Christmas. It's just crazy. This is one of the strangest seasons I can remember. For the bottom and the top to be that wide ranging is just wild. But this, do you agree? This is a great team. I don't know whether they're going to get there or not, but that team we've seen for the last 3-4 weeks is as good as there is in the Big 12. I mean, they're very good.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when they were struggling so much early in the Big 12 season, even going back in the non-con, yeah, I mean, you're right. There was so much attention placed on the shoulders of why Coleman Hawkins wasn't delivering, why he wasn't able to produce at the level that I think that everybody wanted him to, or at least had the expectations that he would. And what was lacking, what was missing in that entire discourse was, where are the other guys? Like, where's Doug McDaniel? Where is, you know, Max Jones? Where's CJ Jones? Where's Brendan Hausen? Where's, you know, even a returner like David Gasson? Where are those guys? Because at that point, when things were going from bad to worse for the Wildcats, it wasn't just Coleman Hawkins. Yeah, he got the attention, but nobody was playing well. All the different times, especially offensively, where, you know, the team just stood around and, you know, it was maybe a one-on-one type play or something. And like, they just didn't move. They didn't run any kind of like set offense. It was brutal to watch. And, you know, it's no, I don't think it's any coincidence at all that when they've started playing better, it's not just been Coleman Hawkins. We've seen the ascension of several players in that team, including and especially Doug McDaniel. What he was able to do and what he's been able to do, not just last night, but throughout this entire stretch of games for Kansas State, I don't think can be understated. I mean, there were a couple of times last night, especially, I'm watching him, I'm like, is that Noel out there, you know, or is that Doug McDaniel, you know? And just the way that he was attacking and executing, I don't think that you can discount that whatsoever. Of course, all of the attention is always going to be on Coleman Hawkins just because he was your prized transfer NIL guy coming in. But without the contributions, especially on the defensive end of the court by those other guys, they wouldn't be where they are right now, especially, you know, like you just mentioned, they won by 3 against Arizona last night on their home court while shooting 1 from 19 from beyond the, like, they didn't have a good shooting night whatsoever. And that's what I had been wondering about. Like, yeah, they had shot the ball pretty well throughout the course of this win streak. Brendan Hausen had shot the ball great. And, you know, I thought to myself, what happens on an off shooting night for the Wildcats? Can they still find a way to win? And they did just that last night.
It's interesting because you don't know, and we don't know, and we've asked and we'll continue to ask, you know, Wyatt Thompson and Tim Fitzgerald, who are real close to the program, like, what was it that clicked then? Is it, you know, and we wondered this too, like, are they just not running anything on offense, or are they just not, is whatever the coaches are trying to run, are they trying to run something that is not working? And so, like, I don't know the answer. It doesn't matter anymore. Maybe revisionists, we can go back and look if, you know, if they don't ultimately get there and wonder about it. But and here's the thing for me on Coleman Hawkins. Like, I go back and I'm looking right now at his game logs for the entire season. Okay. And we'll just look at the losses, the Liberty loss, right? He had 11-5-4. St. John's, he had 11-9-3. Drake, 16-5-5. The Shocker game, only 6 points, but he had 9 rebounds and 8 assists in that game. TCU, 11-6-4. Oklahoma State, 18-5-2. Texas Tech, 12-5-3. KU, the first time, 15-7-10. Coleman Hawkins, like, it's not that he has erupted. It's not. That's not what has happened.
It's the guys around him.
Yeah, he has been doing this all year. And by the way, what he's been doing all year is what he's done his entire career. It just fits when the other pieces are doing what they're supposed to do. And I bring all this up because there was a time where Jerome Tang was defending him, and we were like, you know what? He's fine. He's a big kid. He can handle it. Like, he's not all of that stuff. I say all that because he has it, and it's been impressive to me, just sort of done his thing, right? Like, he's not wavered from what he does, even though from the outside, everyone's like, why isn't this guy scoring 20 points a night? And you're like, guys, like, he's never done that before. Why are we even expecting him to do that? That's not the kind of player he is. And now you see it. And like, he's one of the more gifted big men passers that we have in college basketball, but you see all that stuff and it starts to work a little better. And what he does is highlighted. It's not any different than what he was doing individually while they were losing games. It's not him. It's everybody else. And so let's just like, I just want to remind people of that because that's the perception right now. It's finally Coleman Hawkins is playing well. I'm like, he's been playing pretty well all year. Like it hasn't been his fault.
I got to tell you, your take on, you know, calling K-State a great team has triggered several people. We've got a message got a message from Rick. I mean, he says, you know, don't call an 11 loss team great. In K-State on X, Chuck reached out to us and said, saying K-State is a great team is an insanely bad take. So, I mean, you know, you've triggered a handful of people by calling Kansas State great.
All right. Let's say they're playing great. How about that? If that's going to be, if we're, and I'm going to guess that everybody's saying that is a KU fan, just a shot, the wild shot in the dark, that's the case. I know Rick certainly is. They're playing great. I don't know what was the, what's the team? What do you call the team that's beat Arizona and Kansas and Iowa State, in by the metrics since
West
what
Virginia.
Is it? West, but by the metrics since at least January 25th has been the best team in the country, like, you know, analytically. I don't know what you, I'm not saying that they've had a great season. It's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying they had a great season. I'm saying what we're watching right now is a great team.
I think if it's anything for me.
It's not fluky. It's not lucky. Like they've done it long enough now that that's what we're seeing. Haven't had a great season. They played like a terrible team for most of the season, but what we've seen now for 3 weeks is a great basketball team. Can they continue it long enough? I don't know. They obviously, that's a huge ask.
I think if anything for me, what it does and the way that they've been playing lately, I think it shines a light on how bad things had been and how inexcusable that is. Like that's absolutely. Just missed opportunities early in the season. Like the way that they have played in the last 2 weeks, that's a team that could have won the Big 12. It's a team that could have been in the top 25. It's a team that could have gotten one of the higher seeds in the NCAA tournament. But everything from mid-January to, you know, before to the start of the season was underwhelming. And, you know, honestly, extremely disappointing, especially when you contrast that with the way that they've been playing. If they were able to take what they've done over the last 2 weeks and do it from the start of the season to now, it would be a completely different conversation about the Wildcats. And we would be talking about them as one of the top teams, you know, in the country. And I know they're playing like one of the top teams in the country right now. Their body of work overall says otherwise. I just know. And look, I'll be the first to admit, like I'm a KU guy. I don't want to play K-State. Like I didn't want to play them over the weekend because I mean, you could see it coming a mile away, the way that the Wildcats have been playing and how great they had been. I wouldn't want to be the coach of a team facing Kansas State in the Big 12 tournament because they could make a run in the Big 12 tourney. Assuming they make it to the NCAA tournament, I wouldn't want to be opposite of the Wildcats in the NCAA tournament because they're poised to be able to knock somebody off if they can get into the field. So yeah, I mean, like I think they can be extremely dangerous, but for me, it just shines a light on how disappointing the start of this season was because the conversation could be entirely different with the way that we've been talking about Kansas State.
And it's not like I didn't even, that wasn't even supposed to be a lightning rod take, but here's why I brought it up. And I appreciate the commentary from Chuck and Rick and everybody. And yes, Chuck in his bio is a KU fan. That's what I assumed. And that's okay. Like, that's okay. Chuck says, again, they're playing terrific basketball right now and could end up being really good, but they're not a great team. Okay. So they're terrific now, could be really good, but they're not great right now. What we're looking at, and here's my point, I think we're crossing T's and dotting I's. Define it however you want. My point is, it is not a lucky team, right? It's not some random, they got hot and the ball's bouncing their way for a couple of weeks and like the pendulum swung from a really unlucky team to no. Like we saw a really good or great, whatever you want to call it, team play really, really poor basketball for a long time. And now we're seeing that exact same team playing up to their potential. And their potential, I think, is to be a great team. I really do. But that goes way back. Like thought that before coming into the season. Like, I really liked this roster, and they just didn't ever put it together. They shot 1 of 19 from three last night and beat Arizona. Bad teams don't do that. Bad teams can't do that. They're not capable of doing that. And I know Arizona shot the ball poorly too. That's due in part to what K-State's able to do out there, right? Like, I just don't want to lose sight of, and all of this being said, Tommy, it's going to make it, if they don't get into the NCAA tournament, if they don't find a way to do this really unbelievable thing, had we said it a few weeks ago, it is going to highlight the disappointment of this season even more. It is, because we'll know what this team was capable of, and it took them way too long to get it together. That's the point of all this. So I hope that they get it together, and I hope they stay on the streak, because they're a really fun team to watch when they're playing like this.
Yeah, I think that's the really important thing as we move forward in the remaining seven games in the conference season into the conference tournament, is that if this ends up being all for naught for the Wildcats, you know, if they can string together a bunch of wins and, you know, let's say that they're on the bubble or whatever, and they ultimately get left out of the field and this entire streak ends up being all for naught, I think it's going to leave a bad taste in the mouth of a lot of people, because it's what could have been. It's what could have been. And, you know, ultimately it was all for naught. And so, you know, yeah, like I think for me, just in general, I want to see them continue this. I want to see them in the tournament, because otherwise it seems just like a waste. Like, it seems like a waste of all of this talent. It seems like, you know, you knock off the 13th ranked team last night, you knock off the, what was Kansas at the time, 15 or 16 on Saturday. You beat Iowa State in Ames decisively. You know, you beat West Virginia decisively on the road by 13, going back a couple of weeks ago at the end of January. Like, there have been these big time wins. And what I don't want to have happen is, I don't want us to get to mid March and be like, well, I guess that didn't really matter. Like they didn't make the field. Like, they couldn't overcome that they're not great in the net. They couldn't overcome the fact that they didn't have a quality non-conference win, you know, or that they went on a really terrible run in the end of December, early January. They got beat by a Wichita State team that is barely hanging on by a thread right now. Those are things that I don't want to have happen, because then it's like, man, we wasted all this time talking about what could have been with this team. So yeah, just for, like, selfishly for me, I want to see them keep winning, because I don't want this to be all for naught.
Same. I feel the exact same way. There's just too much potential here to throw it away. And I'm going to go back to another point from Rick, talking about the Big 12 being down, the SEC and the Big 10 are better. The problem with that is we don't really know until that wasn't the case when they weren't playing conference games. And right now in the net, according to the net rankings, the SEC is better. Yes. But the Big 12's right behind them, and they're ahead of the Big 10 when you look at the net, which is what matters in all of this. K-State has now beat the seventh team in the net, the 11th team in the net, and the 10th team, 7, 10, and 11 over the last couple of weeks. They've beaten now in those net rankings. So for everything that matters, those do matter. You can say that the Big 12 is down, but the NCAA and the things that matter, they don't agree. The Big 12 isn't down. The Big 12 at the top, even if you want to say in the middle, it's not as good as maybe we thought, I could agree with that. But at the top it is. And K-State's beat three of those teams, three basically top 10 teams in this stretch. They need to keep going. They got to keep going. Like, there's not room for error. They maybe can afford one loss the rest of the way, honestly, if they want to get in. Man, it's fun. I'm so glad to be having this conversation and not the one we were having around Christmas time. We're hot taking it because the weather's cold, Tommy. We're saying K-State's a great team, or I am anyway.
You're saying K-State's a great team.
So you don't agree?
No, I think that they're playing really well. I think that they are.
Obviously,
I think they're
playing
well. They're a good team.
Let's reframe it.
Okay.
They played terrible for a lot of the season. They're playing incredible for a lot of the season. Everyone agrees on that. So what would you define the team as then? Because my thing is, like, they're great because they're capable of beating anybody. Like, they're a great team that played terrible at the beginning of the year, I think is a more accurate statement than they're a bad team that's playing incredible now.
I think they're a good team that is dangerous. That's okay. How I would classify them. They're a good team that is dangerous. They're a team that I said it in the last segment. I wouldn't want to face them in the Big 12 conference tournament. I wouldn't want to face them in the NCAA tournament if they can make it into the field. They're a team that they've got the talent to be able to make a little bit of a run and to make some noise. And so, you know, Jerome Tang, remember, he's got experience leading a team to the second weekend in the NCAA tournament. And so he's been there before. He's got that experience. He's got this team playing really well right now. You just can't, unfortunately, throw away how bad things were for the first 2+ months of the season. Unfortunately, you just can't do that. So you have to take that into consideration. And I think because of that, I'm not willing to call them a great team at this point. If they can solidify their place in the NCAA tournament without much of a debate, then I'd be willing to reassess that. But right now, I call them a good team that's really dangerous.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I can settle for that. And it doesn't really matter. It's relevant. It's just something that happened to come up that people are reacting to, so we can continue it. What do we call KU then? Is KU a great team as we transition into the Jayhawks last night? Is KU a great team that consistently plays bad? Or plays below the standard of being a great team? Their resume is good. Their resume is fine. It's a top 10 resume. We're concerned. I'm concerned at their seeding and the potential that they don't end up in Wichita. Very concerned. It's one of the top things people ask me about all the time, because Wichita's coming to March, or March Madness coming to Wichita, and it's on people's mind. I would tell you right now, if they handle their business, they're probably okay. They're still 11 in the net. They play a stretch of games here. First started with Colorado last night, where they have the opportunity to probably solidify themselves right back into that 2-seed, 3-seed, worst case scenario area, but they have to handle their business. And against Colorado last night, Tommy, I mean, it wasn't what we thought it would be. They were 18-point favorites in that game. Never felt like they were 18-point favorites in that game. So what is KU? Is KU a good team that's just played better more consistently than K-State, or is KU a great team?
No, I don't think KU is a great team. I think KU can be a great team. I think that KU has underperformed, underdelivered. They've been disappointing in the way that they are handling opponents that are, inferior to them. Like, I would call Colorado an inferior team. They were going into that game 0-12 in conference play. And like you mentioned, the Jayhawks were 18-point favorites. And I agree with you. It never felt like, you know, Kansas was really able to put them away until the very end. At one point early in the second half, the Jayhawks had a big lead that Colorado cut down to 6. And that's, I think, symptomatic of what's been a larger issue overall with the Jayhawks throughout most of this season, really in conference play, is their inability to put teams away, their inability to flex a little bit and say, we are a better team than you, and we're going to put you away, and we're going to leave no doubt. That's what I wanted to see in this game last night. We talked about it yesterday. It wasn't about whether or not KU needed the win. Of course they did. Everybody knew they were going to win, but I wanted to see how they would win at home against a team that is inferior to them. I wanted to see them put their foot on the neck of Colorado, and they didn't do it. They literally didn't do it until the end of the game. And that's concerning to me moving forward. It's a team that I know that, you know, you and you've said it so many times, like, you're concerned about whether or not they play in Wichita. I get it. I get that that's a concern for people locally. For me, what I'm more concerned about, I've said this before, I'm concerned they're going to get bounced in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, regardless where they play. We end up as a 4 or 5 seed. Right. I said this before. They're going to go up against a 12 or 13 seed that nobody in the country is going to want to play, and it's got upset written all over it.
I agree. They're two different things, honestly. Like, I'm not, and I don't think anybody's saying they want them to play in Wichita because they think it enhances their ability to advance through the tournament. We want them to play in Wichita so it's a great party and a great thing for the community. It's not that I think it's going to make KU more likely to win tournament games. But yes, and they lost the second half last night to Colorado. They lost the second half to Colorado. Why does that happen? How does that happen? And, you know, you look at it and it's a 12-point win, and that's fine. And it's they play good defense. The lineup that they put out there last night, which is the lineup that is their defensive lineup. And even if you look at the three individual guys that people have had a problem with, Hunter Dickinson was 8 of 11 from the field. Okay. He's 19-9. Take that all day, right? KJ Adams was great by the numbers. 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals and a block on 5 of 7 shooting. Who's not taking that? Right? DeJuan Harris was right where you want him to be. 10 and 5 assists with 6 rebounds. Like those three were, you'll take that most nights. That's, I cannot figure out with KU what it's lacking. I really can't. Everyone points to that rotation not being the best, and I'll concede that that's the case. I just can't find it, right? I can't find why. Like, why? Those three are pretty consistent in what they do. Why is that not enough? Is it, and the other thing is too, like, Zeke Mayo is significantly better than anybody else they had last year. Significantly better. I guess McCullough, when he was healthy, you could make a case for it. But I can't figure it out for KU for anything. What is it? What can they do? Because those three players people say don't need to play. Like, they were good last night, and they only beat Colorado by 12. They were good defensively, which those three should always allow them to be. So, like, what would playing any one of those three less minutes have accomplished last night? Because those three were all three individually good last night.
DeJuan Harris wasn't good offensively. I mean, DeJuan Harris was 4 of 11 from the field.
But he's never that good offensively. That's not what he does for this team.
But, you know, it's not at, the efficiency is not, you know, where it is for like a Hunter Dickinson or even KJ Adams last night. It doesn't help when Ryland Griffin is 0-5 from the field. And even Zeke Mayo, you know, was 4 of 12. So he was letting it fly. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well. Now, I get that, you know, he's going to be able to provide you more of an offensive spark than probably anybody else. But I think a lot of it comes down to they lack. I don't want to use the word intensity. They lack but I'm going to use it. They lack an intensity to be able to put teams away, where especially in the second half. You remember like going back to the beginning of conference play when we saw this team clamp down defensively in the second half of games, like where they were holding, like I think Arizona State was one of the games where they held Arizona State to like under 20 points, I think, in the second half. They did that a couple of games early on, and you're like, okay, like that might be the identity of this team. They might not be able to score 90 points, but they can muck it up and they can force turnovers, and they're going to go after every single 50-50 ball. They're going to box out. They're going to do all of these things where they're going to win the game in the intangibles, and they're going to shut you down. We have not seen that recently from this Jayhawks team. Like, they're letting their opponents hang around for far too long without being able to put them away. And like, I know I just used the word intensity. It might be an intensity factor. It might be an intangible factor. It might not be something that shows up necessarily on the stat sheet when you're first looking at it at first glance. There might be some things that are going on underneath that where you have to really like dig deep and figure out what's going on.
I don't think there's any question about that. But at the end of the day, and I totally agree, at the end of the day, though, like the numbers do come through and matter something. I think for me,
I'm looking for style points. And I know that like, that's not what like ultimately decides, you know, game for anybody, but like the style points haven't been there outside of the game that they beat Iowa State at home on Big Monday last week.
Yeah.
In the last month plus, that's been the only game where I feel like the style points have been there.
It's one of the stranger things I can remember. Last year, it was very obvious, right? Like, it was so obvious what they needed. They couldn't shoot a three. Like, they couldn't do anything. And it's there's probably some of that. Like, they're so starved for another scorer right outside of the big three. And when Zeke Mayo and the big three play well, they're going to be really hard. Maybe that's all it is. But, like, if you go back and look at some of the losses that are annoying, most of the time it's because they didn't bring it defensively. And it may simply be that. Like, it may just be that this must be an elite, elite, like top, top, top level defense for them to be the best version of themselves. And I think that's probably the case. And in some of these games, if you go back and look at the losses, it's pretty generally the same thing, right? They allowed 75-ish, but you know, they allowed too many points. And they're not capable consistently of keeping up with that offensively. I think that's probably it. As far as like, you know, energy and all that, I don't know. It's so hard to know that stuff unless you're really, and we'll ask Rias Lotta in the next hour if maybe he gets a sense of that, right? Like, you really got to be inside it to understand that stuff. It's hard for me to imagine with Bill Self and those three seniors that they don't, and really four, I guess, that they don't care a ton. I don't believe that. Now, maybe the personality is a little bit different, but I can't imagine those guys aren't bringing it every day at practice, aren't focused.
Self himself said that they're not. Like, he said after the Kansas State loss that he felt like there were some energy issues and just a lack of focus issues, even outside of game days on practice days.
Then you got to make substitutions, right? Then if somebody's not giving you the energy they need to, pull them off the court. Pull them off the court. It's not like KU's not talented up and down the roster.
But isn't that the rub, right? Like, that's not something that at this point in the season Bill Self does. Like,
he's going to challenge that trust publicly, like, I don't trust this guy to bring the right energy, then pull him off the court.
I agree with you.
I don't know who he's talking about either. Like, he's trying to motivate his guys too. Like, he's being a psychologist at the same time. All right, we'll continue. Shreyas Lotta will help us with KU when we come back in the second hour. There's a lot of quarterback news in the NFL. The Shockers also playing tonight against UTSA. We'll come back, more Sports Daily right after this.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.